So this week, as you know, we have been going through Acts, and I swear, this is how you can tell. When people talk to pastors, they talk about, oh, well, you're the one in charge, you're the one that makes the decisions, and that is absolutely not true, because I had made the decision we were going to go through Acts chapter 18. We were finally in Acts 18, and I kept trying to read it and go through it and run through it, and God... It took until about Thursday for me to finally listen to God and say, no, that's not at all what you're going to be talking about. Because one of the things is I've noticed in hearing a lot of different people is there's a lot of fear and stress and anxiety going on. I mean, if you ever read the news lately, it's kind of crazy. And just some of the people that I've talked to within our congregation and some of the stuff going on, I mean, people are exhausted and tired and stressed out. And, you know, as my little thing there, you knew that was coming up. That's Vader right there. Just as it says, you know, fear is not a good path to go down. We can all have fear, but as believers, we are not to be living in constant state of fear. We're not to be cowering. We can be afraid sometimes, but we have to take our fear and give it to God. Because if you're in a constant state of fear or confusion or anxiety, that is absolutely not from God. And as 2 Timothy 1:7 says, let's see if this will work. I don't know if it works or not. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And those are the things that I really, really wanted to talk about today. But first, let's go ahead and pray. Holy Father, we thank you for your strength, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you that we can rely on you and count on you. Father, we live in a world where we can't rely on things. Even things that we thought were constant and secure sometimes can fall away, but you are the only one who is faithful and true. So bless this time and the rest of the service. Bless these words and let your will be done in them. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, everybody has fears. Everybody even has phobias. And I've told a lot of you guys this, but I have a severe fear of heights, even though I'm 6'3". It sucks. I hate heights. I can't stand it. It's terrifying. I tell you this as I'm about to get on a plane tomorrow to fly to California. Don't pray for me. Pray for Danielle. It is terrifying. And I tell you this, I probably told this story, but we've lived where we used to live. We lived right next to Six Flags Magic Mountain. And it's nothing but roller coasters. It's an amusement park. Nothing but roller coasters there. And one time, we would go with our friends a lot. We would take the youth. And I was always, again, the guy who would carry everybody's bags. I'd be like, I'll be down here waiting for you. I got your backpacks. You know, don't worry. But one time I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, if I only do it once, I can say I've rode the rides, I've done it, I've rolled the roller coasters. So I made an effort to, no matter how much I peed my pants, I would not say no to a ride. I would get on. Okay, so we do all that, I did all that, no matter how scared I was, and at the end of the day, it wasn't me, Danielle said, never again. No, I embarrassed her so bad. It was so awful. She's like, no, you hold my bag and wait right where you're supposed to be. Don't ever do that again. But it's terrifying because that, even though logically, okay, it's safe. There's like probably a 1 in a billion chance that something is going to go wrong. Just like with the plane, I have to not think about the fact that there's nothing underneath me. Like everything is safe, logically, but there's that little phobia like, yeah, but what if? What if you're the one that's going to get on the plane and you're the one that's going to mess it up? You're going to do something and it's going to go terribly wrong. But again, it's an irrational ideology, and you can't let fear control your every movement. Everybody has their fears, even the serious ones. Physical, psychological, mental, emotional, we all have something that's messing us up. We all have legitimate reasons why we're afraid of something. It's maybe past trauma, the way we were raised. Each and every one of us has something that other people will look at and think it's not that big of a deal, but it's absolutely terrifying. You know, one of the things is this up-and-coming generation, a lot of the people that I know, they don't have driver's licenses. They're afraid of driving. They don't want to do it. They're absolutely terrifying to them. I know a couple of people who, she has gone through so many permits. She's like, okay, I'm going to do it. She gets her permit. She starts practicing, and she just falls apart. She can't do it. There's fear of loss. We've all had loss. We've all had fears of abandonment, fears of getting close to someone, of failure, change, not being in control. My goodness, the fear of current events. Fear is a great motivator because it can guide our actions and decisions even when we don't think of it. Think of the opportunities that you've left yourself out of because of fear. How many decisions that you made not to do something was polluted because of fear? You know, I've read this article. I actually tried to be smart and read an article from Psychology Today. I know I felt so important when I did it. But it says something about fear. This is what it says. Nothing makes us more uncomfortable than fear. And we have so many: fear of pain, disease, injury, failure, not being accepted, missing an opportunity, being scammed. Fear invokes the flight or fight syndrome, and our first reaction is always to flee back to our comfortable zone. If we don't know the way back, we are likely to follow whoever shows us a path. And that is a problem in and of itself. That's the problem that I really want to talk about, because fear is not only a great motivator, it's a great manipulator. Fear tactics in all aspects of life have been used for centuries because fearful people are easily controlled. Whole kingdoms, empires, governments have used fear to get people to bend to their particular will. Whole regimes have been based on fear. Communist Russia, Communist China, North Korea. Did you know North Korea thinks that Kim Jong-un can read your mind? They are raised to think that. So you better not think anything bad about that, the regime or anybody. Nazi Germany, Roman Empire, everybody has fear base. Before we get into it, even this particular country, fear has been used to do what the government has wanted us to do. We just went through a lot of that without getting into too many politics. I mean, politicians will prey on our fear to get us to vote in a certain way or think a certain way. I mean, just think of the garbage fire that was the last election. Look at what happened there. News preys heavily on our fears. Social media, any type of media, just watching it has plenty of reasons to fear. As a matter of fact, a lot of scientists and a lot of medical professionals say that if you cut back on social media, you will have better mental health. What a shock. There's another article that I read that said news programming uses a hierarchy of if it bleeds, it leads. Fear-based news programming has two aims. The first one is to grab the viewer's attention. In the media news, this is called a teaser. The second aim is to persuade the viewer that the solution for reducing the identified fear will be in the news story. If a teaser asks, what is in your tap water that you need to know about, a viewer will likely tune in to get that update information to ensure safety. The success of fear-based news relies on presenting dramatic anecdotes in place of scientific evidence. promoting isolated events as trends, depicting categories of people as dangerous and replacing optimism with fatalistic thinking. I heard someone once say that if you just watch the news, you would think you would just walk out your front door and everything would be on fire. The best way to realize what's actually happening is to turn off the news and go out and talk to your neighbor and realize it's not as bad as they say. Did you know that some news stations will work with consultants who offer fear-based topics that are pre-scripted, outlined with point-of-view shots, and have experts at the ready? This practice is known as stunting or just add water reporting. Often these practices present misleading information and promote anxiety in the viewer. Marketing does the same thing. I was again doing research about some of this stuff, and I was blown away by the article's title called How to Ethically Use Fear in Your Marketing. Ethically. Don't worry, it's ethical. I don't know how. Companies have entire departments of experts that meticulously research how they can feed into your own fears, anxieties, and insecurities to get you to buy whatever it is that they are selling. They want you to think that unless you have whatever it is that they're selling, you're not a real man, you're not a real woman, your parents don't love you if they don't buy you that video game, you are not a good person if you don't have that. The world has every reason for us to be afraid. And I get it. Because coming out here was absolutely terrifying. Not to mention what happened to Danielle. But the enemy can come along and say, but what if? What if you're not good enough? What are you doing? This is a mistake. What are you doing here? All of these different things. I've dealt with anxiety and depression. It got even to the point to where for a while there, I was afraid to leave my house. So my point of the day is not if you're afraid, you're sinning against God. How dare you? You don't have enough faith. The problem comes up when we are motivated and manipulated by fear. When we let fear control us, we tend to make bad decisions. The Bible is littered with this. The fear of God not fulfilling his promises led to Abraham to have a child with a slave woman. And to this day, we're seeing the consequences of that in the Middle East with the Arab people. It was the fear of the so-called giants in the land that led 10 out of the 12 spies of Israel to stop the people from entering and taking the promised land, which caused a 40-year wandering in the desert. And it was fear that led Peter to deny Jesus 3 times the night he was arrested. Again, Christians, we often see the world as awful, scary, immoral, disastrous wastelands, and most of our reactions are to retreat and hide behind our comfort zones and our walls of safety. But again, this is not the life that God has called us into. I know life in general, let alone living for Christ, can be scary, and it seems that every day we have more and more problems. There are times when the world is falling apart at our very feet. But here's the thing, the world and everything around it is not our foundation. And sometimes, even in the terrible things, God will work to show you that it's not the thing, it's Him. And Jesus has, in fact, overcome the world. He's already secured our victory. We just got to get there. Look at Matthew 24:9-13. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will raise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. Even Jesus says this in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do not come to Christ thinking all of your problems are going to be instantaneously solved and you're going to have the easiest life on the planet. Jesus specifically said, you're going to have problems. This world is a mess, but I have overcome it. So focus specifically on me. Be even encouraged by those who've faced these struggles and these sufferings and terrible situations before us. Our brothers and sisters for the past 2,000 years have dealt with so much so that you and I now can hear the gospel, worship Jesus, and know him. We cannot let fear infect our minds and allow us to neglect what God is doing, wants us to do. Again, we are called to be bold in spite of all the scary and fearful things out there. We are to offer up ourselves as living sacrifices to God openly and without shame. Jesus doesn't say, go and preach the gospel unless it's too difficult. He just says to go do it. We cannot retreat in our little nests of safety. If you've given your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit actually dwells within you, then you have the power to face this dark world just like those who came before us. You know, Joshua 1:9, a lot of people know this. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I don't remember who said this, but I even looked it up. It says that the phrase, do not be afraid, is repeated in the Bible 365 times. It's one for every day. It's as if we need to hear that every single day. Don't be afraid. A while ago, we talked about who and what God is, his power, his sovereignty. So you know if he commands it, it will be so. I will be with you wherever you go. He doesn't just wave us on and say, all right, good luck. Let me know how that works out for you. I don't know if it is or not, but have fun trying. God says, I'm going to be right there with you. He never gets tired of us. He never leaves us. He's right there with us. And he emboldens us to stand our ground and keep our eyes on Jesus. Again, we have to remember who God is. A lot of us have had people who were supposed to be closest in our lives and said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm just going to leave. People who are supposed to give you such unconditional love, even kids, when you were kids, and these parents of yours who might have just said, you know what, you're too much. I'm done with this. Or I'm not in the mood. I don't feel like this. Or there are some parents who say, well, I was never meant to be a parent, so, you know, good luck. That is, of course, not who God is. He is the one and only who you can rely on. If he doesn't get tired of me, he's not going to get tired of anybody else. Because I come to God a lot with a lot of different things. Most of my prayers are, don't let me be an idiot today. Please, God, help me. And he just looks down at me and goes, I know. I got you. He never leaves us or gets tired of us. It's an amazing, wonderful thing to know that there's someone out there that we can trust to do those things with. Psalm 34, 4 through 5, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. God has delivered us and armed us against the spirit of fear and given us the spirit of power, of courage and resolution to encounter difficulties and dangers. He has given us the spirit of love to God, which will carry us through the oppositions we may face and set us above the fear of man. Man can often look scary. We build things up and we're like, oh my goodness, how can we stand against that? But we have to remember that God is bigger than anything man can ever create. He's given us a spirit of sound mind, quietness of mind, and peaceful enjoyment of ourselves. For we can so often discourage ourselves and let our own fear run wild with anxieties and worry, which a sober and solid mind would remove and easily answer. Again, fear has this chemical thing within our brains that makes us start thinking irrationally. That is why God says, I'm going to give you a soundness of mind, quietness, so that you can think through this, so that you can know I am here with you. Because anxiety and fear, it can manipulate you to do things, to think things, to not rest, to not be able to sleep, and all these different things. But God gives us a quietness of mind so that we can hear his voice instead of our own fear. Because again, it all boils down to who do you trust? Where is your trust? I believe I've said this before, I may have told you, but I still have it. It's in my office, the crucifix that I used to have. When I was a kid, the way I grew up, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of unknown. What is going to happen? So what I would do is I couldn't sleep unless I held my crucifix at night. If I had this thing, I would be okay. I put my trust in a piece of metal. And then when I became a Christian, I had to relinquish that. Because it's not the thing, it's who Jesus is. I had to start praying and saying, God, help me with this. I have to put my trust in you. The same thing, you know, I grew up Catholic, and I had a coworker who also grew up Catholic and came out of it. She said one of the biggest things that helped her with her trust in God is before, when she was Catholic, she put her trust in rosaries that were blessed by priests and did various things, and she put them all over the house. She put them under the crib for her kids. She put them hanging on the wall. She put them in the bed. She put them everywhere. And one of the trusts that she had to work through is she went through the entire house and just threw all of that stuff away. Because it's not the thing. It's not because a priest blessed it. It's because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just put your trust completely in me. So who do you put your trust into? Is it your friends, your family, your spouse, your pastor, all of which are human beings that are gonna fail you? At some point, whether small or big, the trust you placed in them will be broken. Is it your job, your status, your money? Well, Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Again, money cannot save you. To trust in riches is to trust in uncertain things being here today and gone tomorrow. Look at the economy of 2008. I lived in an oil-filled town. It was boom or bust. One time, oil was running high. Everybody was getting overtime. Everybody was going on vacation, had the big house. 2 years later, it just dipped and sank. All in unemployment, had to sell the house, move out, move into an apartment. Over and over and over again, it would happen. Money will go away. Again, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Everything else will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. The true believer is a branch in the living vine. When those that take root in the world wither, those who are grafted in Christ shall be fruitful. Look at Psalm 91, 1 through 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Holy and securely trust in his power, wisdom, authority, and goodness. Even when it doesn't seem that way, God is still good. He is wise. He is faithful. He has authority over everything. He knows exactly what is best for you. So always focus on him. Remember, we can get ourselves into a big old mess if we try to do things ourselves. When we try to figure things out on our own understanding, we can make it even worse. Those who put themselves under divine guidance will always have the benefit from it. Even though it may not make any sense, God will give us wisdom and direction so that we don't go down paths of sin and trouble. Again, acknowledge God and trust in him, and you will find rest and peace that doesn't make any sense to anybody else. Look at Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remains, therefore, rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Again, dealing with my own fears or anxieties or issues that I may have, one of the things that God kept saying is just take it easy, just rest in me. You know how difficult that is when you have anxiety? Because your mind can play tricks on you. You got to get up. You got to do something. Oh my goodness, if you don't get up right now, it's all going to fall apart. What are you doing? Why are you just sitting there? And God just said, rest, focus on me. Just rest, take it easy. Take a minute. It's difficult to do that. But even Jesus did this. If we're to be like Jesus, then Jesus himself took times to rest. Can you imagine? Jesus had the most important job in the universe, to redeem God's creation back to him from sin and death. You would think he was going 24 hours a day, nonstop, going around everywhere. But there were times when Jesus would just stop, even walk away from his own disciples and take time to rest, and pray to God, refocus, and do what needed to be done. There were even times when Lazarus died and they said, you got to come quick. Lazarus died. And he said, no, I'm going to take a minute. Because even in his own power, he knew who he was. The problem is if we continue to think we can be busybodies, we can continue to do things, but we're not actually productive. Nothing can actually happen. Resting in the presence of God not only refocuses yourself on what's important and gets you out of the chaos, exhausting cycle, but resting in him shows that it's really God doing all the work. It's not your effort. It's not my effort. It's his. I need to take time to rest in him and reconnect with him so that he can tell me what needs to be done next. And even if it's that one step, even if it's that one little thing that can be a part of a bigger picture that we don't even know, but we think we have to do it all. Because those who don't know or trust in God or acknowledge him as God only put their trust in finite things, and they're always anxious and afraid. Our lives as Christians ought to be the complete contrast. A commentary I read said, he that by faith chooses God for his guardian shall find all that in him which he needs or can desire. It is the character of a true believer that he dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He is at home in God, returns to God, and situates himself in God as his rest. So again, for those of us who are believers, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then we all need to act like it. When the world seems to be falling apart and everyone else is running around and freaking out and wondering why you're not following suit, remember the one whom we serve. Remember that he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. His power and glory and might shall never ever waver. He has conquered death on our behalf. Remember, no matter how grim life can be, he has overcome the world, and through him we are more than conquerors. And one way to remember all of this is to read and meditate on his word. Look at Psalm 119, 15 through 16. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. You know, at work, I had a coworker who was with me, and she said she's been going through a lot of stuff, and she's had a lot of stress. And she was talking to me about how she got this meditation app on her phone. And she proceeded to ask me, well, do you meditate? Have you ever meditated before? And I got the opportunity to explain to her that as Christians, we're supposed to meditate. But it doesn't look like what most people think meditation is. You know, you don't have to sit cross-legged with your fingers like this. humming or chanting or whatever it is. And one of the things that I need to say is a lot of, not a lot, but there are meditation things that will say, empty your mind. Empty your mind and all this stuff. Never, ever, ever empty your mind, because there's something waiting to fill it. So as Christians, that is why we meditate, but we meditate on God and His Word. We focus completely on Him. And I explain that, yes, you know, I too deal with stress and anxiety. I'm not perfect, but I wait and rest and meditate on the Scriptures, like, cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Or things like, your Father knows what you need before you ask for them. I remember the promises of God. And it helps me remember that I can put my trust in Him, because look at what He's done before. I meditate on the things that He's done in my life even before, and go, oh yeah, He got me through that. He can get me through this. He is faithful. He hasn't left me. That's why it's so important to open up your Bibles and read it for yourselves, so that you too can remember all of these things. Because again, whatever it is that you fill your mind with is what's going to come up when you have problems. And again, I have to, one of my prayers all the time is, don't let me do something based on my fear. Let me do it because you told me to. That's the things that we have to remember, and that's what Scripture is saying to do. And so, you know, just like today, as Don mentioned, today is Pentecost. This is thousands of years. This is the day that we Christians remember and celebrate the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And again, this fulfillment is found in Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them dividing tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. But the thing that they were doing before all this happened is they were sitting in a room all together. Jesus promised this thing would happen, and then He ascended into heaven. They had no idea when this was going to be fulfilled. It could be the next day. It could be 10 years from now. They had no idea. But instead of worrying or being anxious or freaking out or maybe it didn't work or whatever, they instead waited and prayed together, sought God, looked out. They even took time to decide who would take Judas's place. They, you know, Jesus said, okay, wait until this happens. So they said, okay, we can't go out yet, but we'll take care of what we can now. We can do the things that we can do now. And that goes for the rest of us. Again, Jesus is coming back soon, even though we don't know when. Until then, we have to live our faith boldly and proclaim the gospel, and don't let fear manipulate you and rob you of your peace. Keep your eyes on Christ and trust in Him alone. Do the things that you can do now. Okay, take the time to rest in Him so that you can hear His voice to say, go here, do this, say that, start something. Because fear is going to tell you to do certain things and it's not going to work out. It's going to fall apart in your hands. But if God tells you, that's one of the most difficult things that we can do, is when God says, wait. What do you mean, wait? Come on, we got to do this. I'm ready now. Wait. Pray. Meditate on His Word. Obey Him so that you can be in the right position so that the Holy Spirit, when He tells you to go, you can go. When He tells you. Not when I do, not when anybody else, not when you think it's time. When He tells you to go, it's time to go. So again, as the worship team comes up, I just want to let you know that yes, this world is getting wonky. There may be something going on in your particular life. There may be something happening. You don't understand what's going on and you feel like nobody or nothing is in control. You can't figure it out. Just remember there is one sovereign authority who is going to last beyond the problems of this world. The church has been around for 2,000 years, and you can bet there has been countless catastrophes and problems and governments falling apart, and yet his word and his truth are still here. And it's the only one that's going to last. So the final verse, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you that you care about our anxieties and our fears. We thank you, Father, that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our problems and our issues. That Jesus even struggled with fear and anxiety. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane where he was scared so much that he was bleeding as he was sweating. But we thank you that we can take his example and say, but not my will, but your will be done. I rely wholly on you. Forgive me for any trust I have placed in anyone or anything else. Help me, Father, to remember that even when everything else falls away, you are still there. That we have an eternal reward that's going to last even longer than the problems that we're facing today. Help us, Father, to endure to the end so that we can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.